are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we're powered by SID Media. So we have come across many Bible texts that may have raised an eyebrow or two, and people don't often know where to get the answers, the answers about regarding those texts they are looking for. So this is where our problematic text slot comes in, right? And this is where, in fact, we actually get to explore most of these verses. And today, we want to talk about Jesus turning water into wine. And you can go to your Bibles. You're finding this in the book of John, chapters 2, verses 1 to 11, right? And besides that, I'll Google that other scripture, the one that I referenced in the morning. We'll be speaking about all things alcohol. I believe there's a scripture somewhere. My pastor will help me that says one glass a day is enough. We are joined on the line by Pastor Shibeleki, who's going to help us on this one. My pastor, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you too?
I am good, Mfundi Swami. I hope you are well.
I am.
Indeed, Pastor. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Shall we pray? Gracious Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to share your word. As we get into your word, O Lord, we pray that you open our minds. May you bless everyone, Heavenly Father, who has tuned in to listen unto your word. May you bless those that are spearheading this program, gracious Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, as Christians, can we drink alcohol?
As Christians, we cannot drink alcohol. We have some overwhelming evidence from the Bible against taking of alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
yes.
This evidence, Mfundi Swami, if we can go through it, because Jesus himself, he turned water into wine, right? Or was that one non-alcoholic?
Yes, Jesus turned water into wine. Now, we need to understand that wine in the Bible may mean the fermented and the unfermented wine. And whenever the Bible is talking about the alcoholic wine, it qualifies it. Mm-hmm. I have here passages we cannot read in due time, but we have 16 passages from the Bible referring to alcoholic wine. Okay. And whenever the Bible is talking about the alcoholic wine, it qualifies it. It says, do not drink wine. Mm-hmm. Do not drink a strong wine. But it comes to the wine Jesus made. It is just talking about wine. Since it is not classified as alcoholic or strong wine, like other passages that are talking about strong wine, then we can just assure ourselves the Bible here is talking about non-alcoholic wine.
So, Pastor, what you are saying is that when... because I, from my non-science mind, so for something to be fermented, it has to be, when we're making bread, that one, it has to, you have to put yeast, I don't know how you pronounce it, and then you have to cover it, and then it has to rise. Now it becomes fermented, because you can even smell or taste the sourness in the food that you have fermented. So are we then to understand, because Jesus just said that, put water there, and then when they took out the water, now it was wine, that it was unfermented because it didn't go through the process, the scientific process of fermenting?
We cannot just rely on that, but we can rely on the evidence from the Bible. Like I indicate that whenever the Bible is talking about the alcoholic wine, it makes sure it doesn't leave readers in suspense saying which wine. Maybe I can take out of the many that I have, I can take just one example of what I'm talking to read one example of what I'm talking about. And maybe this we can get it from Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9. And all the other verses that I'm talking about, they have the same language. Just let's get it from what the Bible is talking about here. Listen, the Bible in verse 9 says, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink.
Okay.
So here you know that the wine that is meant here is the intoxicating drink. It's not just ordinary wine. So whenever in the Bible is talking about, is referring to alcoholic wine, it doesn't just end on wine. Mm-hmm. It adds to qualify what kind of wine is being referred to.
Mm-hmm.
When we come to John chapter 2, the Bible simply says wine. Now, when it goes that way, you know the Bible here is talking about the unfermented wine. And when you go that way again, you see that all the wine that is fresh, the Bible simply says wine. When it is talking to the fermented, it will say either the alcoholic wine or the intoxicating, all those, that is to qualify what kind of wine is being referred to here.
Mm. Okay. So we is there a verse, Pastor, where I know that this one is also referred to, that where it says that do not drink wine. But every time we have a discussion about wine, people also find counter verses, right? So I'm gonna start with this one, Pastor Wami, so you help us to clarify this one. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 23, I will read it. It says here, stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illness. What do we read from this? The book of Leviticus says do not drink wine. But then now when we come to Timothy, he's saying, no, drink because of your stomach. And we know, you know, when we come to health messages, others will tell you that one glass of red wine is good for the heart, you know. So what do we say now to this one, my pastor?
Okay, now, again, here you see that the wine is not qualified to be alcoholic wine.
Uh-huh.
And also the other aspect is that it is given as a prescription to address a certain ailment. It's not taken as food or any other reason. Now, here, when it is taken as medicine, there is a prescription here Paul is giving to Timothy that as you do this, take a little wine a day. That is meant to heal a certain ailment. It's not taken for pleasure or for hunger.
Mm.
But coming to the kind of wine again here, you see that the Bible is not talking about intoxicating wine.
Mm.
Like when you come to, you find maybe in another passage in the New Testament you can consider is Luke chapter 1.
Okay.
And there you find, I just want people to understand how the Bible doesn't leave it open for anyone to guess whether it's intoxicating or it is fresh wine.
Mm-hmm.
Luke chapter 1 and verse 15. Luke chapter 1, verse 15.
Mm.
Listen to what the Bible here says. And it says, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and you shall drink neither wine nor strong drink.
Mm.
You see? And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, whenever the wine referred to is the alcoholic wine, the Bible qualifies it by saying, do not drink wine. Do not drink a strong drink or intoxicating wine. But when you come to the passage you have just read in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, there it is not talking about the strong wine or the intoxicating wine. That is the non-alcoholic wine. But here it is given as medicine. It's not given as a food.
Mm.
That's why Paul is giving a measure, because it is to be taken as medicine. Like any medicine, it has a dosage.
Mm.
So Paul here is giving it as a prescription to address a certain problem, not really to be taken as a food. But even then, it is not, it's non-alcoholic wine.
Mm. Okay. I'm bringing in another. So, Pastor. So, what I'm getting is that you are saying that if we're gonna argue the case of alcohol, read the scriptures. Not let's remove alcohol and say wine. If we're gonna argue the issue of wine, in the scriptures, the Bible must explicitly say that it is strong wine or strong alcohol or fermented, then that is when we get to know that it's meaning alcohol. But if it did not say that, it just says wine, then it means that that wine was non-fermented. Am I getting it correct?
Yes, because like I said, we have so many passages right from the beginning to the end. Whenever wine, the alcoholic wine is mentioned, it is qualified by adding either strong drink or alcoholic wine.
Mm.
When wine is forbidden, whenever wine is forbidden, the Bible qualifies that wine which is forbidden.
Mm.
When wine is used like for healing wounds, when it was used in healing wounds, when it was used as food, then it is left as wine, meaning it is the non-alcoholic wine. The Bible doesn't make any mistake. I have here with me a lot of passages that are talking about against wine.
Mm.
And any passage that is talking against wine, it requalifies that wine to be alcoholic or strong.
Mm. Okay.
And whenever people are allowed to take wine, wherever in the Bible people are allowed to take wine, there is never one instance or reference that is allowing people to take alcoholic wine or strong wine. There is never in the Bible. Wherever people are allowed to take wine, it is just the plain wine, which is the juice that is extracted from the vine.
Okay. I'm loving, Mfundisi, how you are helping us with the scriptures. I know, because every time we speak about alcohol, these are the scriptures that come up. I'm going to give you another one again, my pastor, so that you help us to dissect it, right, regarding wine. Where is it? I had it here. This is from this book that I can't pronounce even today. Ecclesiastes, yeah, that one. You've got it, Pastor, eh? Chapter 9. Yes. Chapter 9, I think it's verses 7. So it says here, so go and eat your food now and enjoy it. Drink your wine and be happy. It is all right with God if you do these things. So with this one, the argument that has been made is that God himself, the scripture says that we must go and drink and be happy, and God is happy with it. And we know that if you drink non-alcoholic wine, you will not get drunk because there's no alcohol. And we know that when you're intoxicated, you are happy. So how are you supposed to be happy if you've drank non-alcoholic wine? So if you can dissect this one, my pastor, because you know.
You know, the world we live in today and the world, the time of the Bible, things are very different because we are distanced in terms of the Bible land and also in terms of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at the verse that you have just read, and he's saying, go and take your wine that you may be happy. And the wine that is mentioned there again is not a strong wine.
Mm.
Now, because people believe now that you can only be happy when you are drunk. Yeah. Why should someone be happy only when they are drunk? People should be happy. And here, when you sip a glass of pure wine. Wine is related to joy. It's related to happiness.
Okay.
And when you take wine like any other soft drink that you take, people should be happy. But the idea that you only get happy when you are drunk, that is false. There is a lot of evidence in the Bible where people were happy without being drunk. Yes.
Okay.
So you know, when you are looking for something to defend your position, everything may sound true. Even when you look at it critically, you see that there is nothing alcoholic here, even when it comes to the book of Ecclesiastes.
Okay.
Now, we need also, my sister, we need to understand that the book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon.
Mm.
And the same Solomon in the book of Proverbs talks so strongly against wine. There is no way one person, the same person, preaches this and then he turns around and says something opposite.
Mm.
There is no way. When you get to the book of Proverbs, written by the same person we have quoted in Ecclesiastes, listen to what he says in chapter 20, verse 1. Mm-hmm. This is the same preacher whom we quoted earlier in Ecclesiastes.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, wine is a mocker.
Mm.
You hear that, my sister?
Yes, sir.
Wine is a mocker. He doesn't end there. He has to qualify which wine is he talking about.
Mm.
In the next statement, he says, strong drink is a brawler.
Mm.
And whoever is led astray by it is not wise.
Hmm.
In Ecclesiastes, he just says wine. In Proverbs, he says wine and qualifies it. Which wine? Strong drink.
Hmm.
And as if that is enough, when you get to the same person in Proverbs chapter 31, the same Solomon, listen to what he says on verse 4.
Mm.
And he says, it is not for kings, O Lamuel, it is not for kings to drink wine.
Yeah.
He doesn't end there again. He says, no, for the princes intoxicating wine.
Mm.
There is no way the Bible will leave it open for someone to be lost.
Mm.
These are the verses that I say that I have so many of them. That if I were to read all of them, it would take us a lot of time. But whenever it is talking about the alcoholic wine, the Bible doesn't leave it quiet.
Mm.
It qualifies that wine.
Mm.
And when it is encouraging people to take wine, it is always leaving it as wine without adding strong or intoxicating.
I see. Huh. So we can drink the non-alcoholic wine. That is fine.
Mm.
Huh.
Mm.
Fundis. Yeah. Okay.
So the wine Jesus took with the disciples during the time of the past the Last Supper.
Mm.
Again, when you get to that reference, you'll find the Bible is simply saying wine. And so many passages that are referring to non-alcoholic wine, it is just ending with the word wine. When it is prohibiting, it will add intoxicating or strong wine.
Mm.
Yes.
And as you're saying that, Mpundis, I just did a quick Google search, you know, novice nyana, so smola nyana. Bible studies, Google is the way to go. So when I Googled here, there is this reference that I got, and they were referencing the book of, the King James Version, the Bible there. And then there are a lot of verses here where they strongly highlighted strong drink. So in these verses is strong drink. So what I'm understanding is that, so, for example, I'm going to read First Samuel. We all know the story of Hannah, right? And it says here.
I also have that among the verses that I have.
Yes.
That is First Samuel chapter 1,
uh-huh.
15.
Uh-huh. And Hannah,
you can go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And Hannah answered him and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my spirit, my soul before the Lord." So meaning that now the Bible can be is explicit when it has a difference when it comes to wine and strong drink. When it's meaning alcohol, it will say strong drink. But when it's just normal wine, which does not have alcohol, it will say wine.
Yes.
Ah.
But it will not leave anyone to guess which wine. It will not.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever it is talking about alcoholic wine, it will qualify that kind of wine.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
But when you mix the two, then it's you are putting your ideas on the passage.
Mm.
Now, we should not put our opinions on the passage. We need to take the passage as it is. And you see that when they are talking about wine, like the wine, the good Samaritan in the parable of the good Samaritan, he used to put on the wounds, it was just wine. The wine that they took at the Last Supper, it was just wine. The wine that Paul is telling Timothy to take a glass is just wine. But every wine that is prohibited, it will not just leave it as wine. It will say strong drink. Yes.
So in general, my pastor, then how then should we view alcohol? You know, is it something we should test or not test? Is it something, if for example someone is already drinking because they understand that one glass is okay, you know, how then should they go about that, or how should we view alcohol?
Okay. Alcohol is like the Bible has put it, it's a broiler, it's a deceiver. Mm. It makes people feel that they are what they are not. Mm-hmm. And like the same Solomon says, who has red eyes? Who has wounds without cause? Who has these problems? And he goes on to mention the problems that come as a result of strong drink. Mm. So people bring themselves misery when they take that strong drink, because they lose judgment. It makes you feel what you are not. You can even think that you are the king when you are not. You may think that you are a very rich person when you are not. You can spend, I have seen in my family people who were sent to go and buy meal, and they end up using that money to buy alcohol when the family is starving at home, because people lose judgment.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, ne. So earlier on, you know, we highlighted the issue of the health issues. So should that give us a leeway? Let's say there's something with my heart and they're like, no, one glass, my sister. One glass of red wine, my sister. Your heart will be fine, you know. So is that where we are given leeway, or even that we should just try and stay away from it and find other alternatives to make our hearts stronger?
Okay, whenever something is taken as medicine, there is a prescription. Like any other medicine that we take, there could be some alcohol there, but we take it as medicine. And the doctor will make sure that he gives you a dose, a dosage. So you cannot hide in the name of medicine when all you want is intoxication. Medicine has a dosage. Yes, my sister.
I'm sorry for laughing. I get that, and I appreciate, Pastor, you know, how you raise that, because indeed, sometimes, you know, we do say, no, it's a medical thing, I have to drink. Can't, no, you're just hiding.
Yes. So doctors will always tell you three times a day, one or two, three times a day. They know that some of the medicine they prescribe, then they have some alcohol content maybe, or some things that can be harmful. So they are to be taken as prescribed. But here is someone who goes to drink and say, no, it's good for health. What dosage have you taken?
Pastor, it's a medical issue now. We must drink two glasses. And the stronger one, you know, that wine that has the high alcohol content. Okay, no, thank you for this. I've had that. So in essence, as we wrap it up, the message that we're taking today is that if you want to use the Bible to advocate for alcohol, it must say strong drink, but don't just use wine, because wine is non-fermented. And it's okay for us to drink non-alcoholic wine. That is what we're taking, right?
Yes. And if for example, that day at the wedding at Cana, if Jesus had made water into alcoholic wine, and that would have been written like that, then you would have all the evidence that wine, alcoholic wine, is good. But Jesus did not that kind of wine, because the wine he made is not a strong wine. Yes, so, and everywhere where it is saying it's strong wine, the Bible is forbidding that. It has never allowed the strong wine in the Bible. It has never been allowed.
Ah, okay. All right. No, thank you so much. Thank you so much, my pastor, for the run. Any closing words? And then after that, can you please pray for us so that we do not get tempted to drink the strong drink?
Sure. Shall we pray together?
Yes, sir.
Father God in heaven, we thank you for the time that we have taken to look at your word. May Heavenly Father, may your word find the room in the hearts of your children, that they may choose to do what is right and live a holy life, that when you come again, you'll be able to usher us all in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. My pastor, thank you so much. It has been a lovely 2 days. And today I actually really loved it. And I didn't, I must confess, as I didn't know the distinction, but now I do know. So when I read the Bible now, I will be having that distinction between the two. So thank you so much, Pastor. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thanks so much. The pleasure is mine to have participated in this program.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.